so I really hope it's. Okay, that's a good sign. So the recording is in progress, and we'll see if I can hopefully figure out how to save the recording at the end of this. So, I mean, and you have an audio recorder? Oh, that'd be fantastic. That'll be our backup if you're okay. I apologize. You won't be able to check your phone. I always, you know, need my phone whenever I'm like somewhere in a meeting or whatever. Even if I'm not looking as much, it's like Pospisilo. Did we do a Gemara about Pospisilo? It was a different year. We're talking about it. Thank you so much. So yeah, it's Pospisilo of knowing that you have your phone should you need it. Exactly. It's your insurance policy. That's the idea of fasting, that we say that Pospisilo enable someone to fast more easily. If I know that I have food in the pantry that I can use in the event of emergency, it's easier fast than not knowing when I'm getting my next meal. And that's the idea also in Hilchos Nida, that we talk about Pospisilo. So the question is, how's a husband and wife allowed to live together in the same house when the woman's in Nida? So actually you look at some ancient societies, the woman would be kicked out into a hut. So the idea is, you see, look how progressive we are. We let men and women live in the same house when they're married. Even when she's Anita, welcome. So the answer, oh, by the way, Toby, the Wi-Fi is not working for me here. So I don't know. It's just getting worse. We're not getting better. I have my phone right over here. So hopefully the recording will save. Judd was kind enough to lend me his phone for audio should something happen. Also, just finishing up the idea of Pospisilo. The idea of Pospisilo is that the husband and wife, even though she's usher to him now, they really shouldn't be able to have yichud because she's usher to him. Still, since he knows, since they, A, they've already been together, B, they will be together in the future, it's Pospisilo psychologically. It's easier, hence you don't need to buy a second house for your wife when she's in Nida, or for yourself when she's in Nida. I guess you'd have to kick yourself out. So, I mean, you know, some places you have to have two sinks. Otherwise, you're not a good Jew. So, I don't know, maybe, you know, the five towns will have two houses. You know, many houses there do. Okay. All right. So we talked about Pasasala. We had a little chat at the five towns. I think we're good to go. Okay.
Rabbi, could you just reiterate where we are? I'm sorry. I came a little
yes,
late.
Yes, very good. Okay. I was just stalling and being Mavatal Torah and telling jokes. Okay, don't worry. We're not in the Gemara yet, but now thank you, Phyllis, for reining us in. This is why we need you here with us. So we are on the bottom of Yud Daled Amud Beis, the bottom of 14b.
On card 14b.
Started the Gemara last time, but it really the sugya really begins here. So we're going to reiterate what we learned last time, and then we're going to go weiter. Yes, Phyllis.
You said Makot 14b, right?
14b, all the way on the bottom. Yadalam and base.
Okay.
All the way on the bottom. 14b. Yeah. Whatever's the last section of 14b, I guarantee you it's that.
Okay.
Around the second to last line. Amaraba. Okay?
Got it.
Here
Thank
we
you.
Go. So, Rabosai, we made it past the Yadalam and Aleph, Yadalam and base. And I think we mostly came out in one piece. Maybe psychologically we're traumatized. And I think we came out mostly unscathed, I hope. A little confusing. But Baruch Hashem, not to say this is going to be like, you know, the easiest Gemara you've ever read in your entire life. It's not going to be an Agadata from the Seves Brochos and story time with Rabbi Kurtz. But it's still going to be a much smoother Gemara, I think, than what we had last time. I think it's actually possible to walk out of here understanding the Gemara. Not to say last time it wasn't, but okay, I'll stop myself while I'm ahead. Amar Rabba Bar Chana. See, Amar Chana had certain legends and stories. You get him for story time. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. He says the name of Rabbi Yochanan, an important principle. So here's a little bit of background for the Gemara. We learned previously about something called Alav Anitik La'aseh, which is when you have a Losaseh, don't do this. And then later on, there's an asay, a positive mitzvah, which the Gemara actually will tell us at the end of today, sort of rectifies the, you know, I don't know if it means exactly you did full tshuva for that sin, but we view it as a form of rectification to the degree that really I should have gotten malchus from violating the sin in the Torah, but because Hashem gave me a positive mitzvah to do in the event that I did this negative one, it sort of rectifies the sin to the extent that I no longer receive malchus. That's what we talked about in the past. Lav anitek la'ase. Now, the question is, in the reverse case, it's called a lav shekodmu ase, where the positive mitzvah actually precedes the lo sase. And don't worry, it sounds abstract. We'll give examples in the Gemara. So what's the deal in that case? There, it's not unanimous. Rabbi Yochanan says, kol lo sase shekodmu ase lo kin alav. You can, you, unlike a lav anitek la'ase, you get malchus when the positive mitzvah precedes the avera. Amrlo, amrit. So later on, the Beis Medrash Rav Yochanan walks in and they say, "Did you really say that?" Amrlo, no, I didn't say that. Amarab, alokim amra. Alokim is an expression of Gemara, like by God, you said that. I'm curious, how does our school translate that? They say like by God. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
That's how they do it? I mean, like, there's no better way to translate it. And that's actually how we talk to, I don't know if we talk British people. Interesting. You're saying, like, they're invoking God's name. I think they're saying, like, in the name of Hashem, this halacha must be true because it's the word of Hashem. But I hear what you're saying. That's an interesting point. You know, like Christians, we talk about this in our Monday night class about with Rep Hankin. And Christianity, and we talked about, Christians, they'll invoke Jesus, but sometimes they'll say, I remember I was doing a funeral one time, and no one on here, I think, was at that funeral. And as the body was being lowered in, I could hear one of the Avim behind me say, Jesus, you know, like, oh my God, you know, it's like an explanation. Like, she wasn't praying to Jesus, but like, you know, people say Jesus, like, uses like a curse almost. So I don't think that's what they're doing here. Certainly, if he said, I don't think it'd be recorded in the Gemara, but it's always a funny phrase, hello, Kim.
Rabbi, but yeah. Why does it have the hay in front of it?
It's, I don't know how to explain it.
Why not just put without it? Like in the Torah.
Doesn't mean the God. I think you're right. It's like maybe a contraction of hey Aleph. Is that what you're suggesting, Henry? Or? Yeah. Or the God. It's an expression. What we got to know. So okay. Someone's a grammarian will come up with a better idea. Anyway, that's just a side point. So Amar Rava Elokim Amra. No, certainly you said that. Uksiva Utanina. In fact, actually. What I know that you said, you shouldn't feel bad about it. You shouldn't regret saying it. In fact, you have scriptural and Talmud, Mishnaic support. Ksiva Tanina. Ksiva, it's written in the Torah. Bishach min amachane. You should send someone out of the camp when they are tame, meaning they shouldn't enter into the temple. And that's the positive mitzvah. You shall leave the camp, do something. Then, v'lo yitamu es machaneihem, should you enter into the Beis HaMikdash, or where the Levim are around the Mishkan, then you should leave. You shall not be in there. V'lo yitamu es machaneihem. So there we have a mitzvah say. Actually, I'm just going to, here are our key terms for today to write down / memorize because translating them will be very cumbersome. A mitzvah saseh is a positive mitzvah. A mitzvah lo saseh is a negative mitzvah.
But in this case, aren't they directed at different people?
Yeah.
The first would be to the keepers of the camp, so to speak, mm-hmm. like to send the person out, and the other would be to the person himself.
Oh, interesting. Oh, you're saying that it's incumbent upon us to send him out of the camp. It's more the people running the place. Interesting. No, that's a good point.
Yes, no, that's how to say it's the way.
Right.
Right. Well, but once he's out, he should be coming.
Interesting point. Right. You're saying just based on the way the pasuk is phrased, it sounds like it's a mitzvah for the security guards to kick the guy out rather than the guy himself. Yeah. I suppose the implication that the rabbis figured out is, well, why did I need to send him out? Because he already has an obligation to go out. But I understand your point. It's a bit of a funny derivation there. That's a good point. I didn't think about that when I was – apparently I glossed right over that. But the point being that we need to take from here is that you have a mitzvah saseh, one more time, it's a positive mitzvah, followed by mitzvah lo saseh, which is a negative mitzvah, an aveira, sin. So here's the case. Aseh precedes lo saseh. That's a law of shekadmu aseh. And you get malchus for it. How do I know that? Tanina, well, it's our Mishnah that we had many weeks ago. Habal and Mikdash Tameh. Somebody comes to the base of Mikdash when he's Tameh, gets malchus, and actually gets Kareis as well, as we established. So there is a case in point that you get malchus for lav shekadmu aseh. So Rabbi Yochanan, elamai taimaka hadarbeh. If that's true, why did Rabbi Yochanan retract his position? Yeah.
The answer might be that the law says is also directed at the leader, so to speak. It's plural. It's
yeah. So you're saying it includes the individual himself?
No. Neither of these are directed to the leader.
Mm-hmm. But it's the individual who will be punished. Because we use these psukim for Habal and Mikdash Tameh. So, I mean, it's interesting. There's a dissonance between the pshat and ultimately what Chazal are using the pasuk for. So I agree with the dissonance that you're pointing out. Okay, but anyway, getting back to Rabbi Yochanan, you had a really great point. Your point was you should get Malchus or Lav Shekadmu Aseh, but then you retracted. And the question is, we have a case in point. You entered a Beis HaMikdash when your tummy, there was a positive, followed by a negative. You violated it. You got Malchus. So Rabbi Yochanan, why did you retract? Elamai time of Kohadar. So Mishum de Kashale Onis. Because Rabbi Yochanan couldn't resolve a question. There was apparently a case where there was an assay followed by a lo sase, a lasha kadmu ase, where you did not get malchus, which led Rav Yochanan to retract and say a lasha kadmu ase does not incur malchus. What is that case? Titania, we learned in a brisa, onis shagirish im yisrael hu machzir ve'ino loke, im kohen hu loke ve'ino machzir. So the case is, actually, I remember when I first came to the shul and I started teaching a Sunday morning class, I think one of the first things we talked about was actually this, which is a case of ones. Ones is rape. And so in a case of rape in the Torah, the woman can elect to marry. It's pretty crazy when you think about it, but that's how society was back then. There, she could elect to marry the rapist. Now, why would she want to do that? Because once she was already raped, it's going to be very hard for her to then find a husband. Future husbands are going to want someone who's a virgin, who's a pasula.
Maybe she was pregnant too.
And it's not fully for romantic purposes. Back then, it was very much transactional. I'm not saying that love didn't exist back then. I'm not sure exactly in what way. But the emphasis on love in society today, you know, is a more recent modern notion. Back in the day, it was much more transactional. And so this woman, she has no one else who's going to take care of her. And this man, it actually works as a deterrent because if, God forbid, he rapes somebody, he now has to financially take care of another individual for the rest of his life. That's a huge imposition when you think about it.
Well, maybe she found out she was pregnant.
Right, so Toby suggests that. Great minds think alike. So yeah, Toby and Phyllis both had the same
name. I didn't hear her. I'm sorry.
No, that's good. That's good. You both. Exactly. I need the grammar. Okay. Very good. So it says that, okay, a Kohen can't take her back. Why not? Because a Kohen.
Not allowed to marry a divorced woman.
Exactly. A Kohen can't marry a divorcee. He can't marry a Grusha. That was actually our first year. What happens when he marries a Grusha and has children? His children become chaloim. They're possible to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. He loses the Kohanic line. He himself doesn't become a chalalo, but he's not allowed to do berachas kohanim, and he's not allowed to serve in the temple.
So divorced wife, but he can't marry divorced.
Exactly.
He had a situation.
Yeah.
Cohen divorced his wife.
Yeah. So that's a big issue. Cohen divorced. Oh wow, says Mamash the case. Cohen divorced his wife, and he wanted to remarry her. So that's being Maxis Mushasa.
He can't have the Kohen.
Right. So he loses all of his Kohanic rights. His children from the next marriage become Chalalim. They lose their Kohen. But the previous ones are still valid. They would still be
when they were married.
They're still Kohanim. Yeah. Okay. Wow. That's a mamish. You saw that in real life. You know, it's sad when you hear these kind of cases. Oh, wow. So, okay. Our learning should serve as an aliyah's neshama. I guess he contributes to our learning here. But, you know, it's kind of like these cases where you don't want them to happen in real life. And when you hear that happen in real life, like, oh, that's mamish, the case of the Gemara. You're like so excited. You know, like imagine Rashiya Bar Rashiya that we talked about the other week, about this guy who has a child with his mother. And then the child has another child with the daughter who then becomes, remember we talked about Rashiya Bar Rashiya, I didn't see Queens in real life. Okay. I would hope not. Okay. Very good. Let's get to the Gemara on both sides. So in Yisrael who master vino loka, am I? The question is that bothered Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan originally said, you get Malkus for a lav shekad mu'aseh. We're clear on the term lav shekad mu'aseh. I just want to make sure. Don't be embarrassed. I'm happy to read. Okay, one more time. I'm going to redefine this term because this is what our entire sugya is about today. A lav shekad mu'aseh is a lusaseh, an aveira, sin, which has a positive mitzvah, an aseh, precede it. Lav shekadmu aseh. A lav that has an aseh come before it. And the question is, do you get malchus for that? Rabbi Yochanan said you get malchus, but he retracted and said you don't get malchus because in the case of ones, in the case of rape, we see that when Yisrael violates the iser of divorcing her, that's also the thing. Not only is he chayav to marry her, but then there's an iser for him to divorce her as well. So you have a mitzvah to marry, and then there's an iser to divorce her afterwards. Right? Because otherwise you'd say, okay, let me just do the mitzvah, I'll marry her, and then I'll get rid of her 2 seconds later. No, you can't do that, because then there's an iser to divorce her. So the question is, if this is a case of Lasha Kanwa say, why am I not getting Malkus? That's the question that bothered Rav Yochanan. He's violating the iser of divorcing her afterwards.
Why would your rabbi, you can't just divorce somebody by yourself.
Yeah.
So why would the rabbis or whoever grant a divorce in that situation?
What you could do, you don't need a beis din actually.
You need something.
You need two witnesses, and it's a whole sugya in the Sefer Yisrael in the beginning. Eid Chasima Karsi, Eid Masira Karsi. Do you just need two? Is it the two witnesses on the document that effectuated? Is it the witnesses for the Masira, the giving over, that effectuated? But essentially, if I just get, you know, you just grab Henry and Judd over here, and you could. What was that? The sin, well, there. So this is the difference. They're facilitating a sin, so maybe lifting ever l'sitei michshol. I mean, lifting ever can happen with anything. I can facilitate someone eating pork chops. I'm over lifting ever, but they're not violating the intrinsic sin. They're not actually doing the divorce. It's the man who's doing the divorce. They're facilitating it.
Also possible that they don't know that.
Oh, right. It's also, you get two witnesses who aren't aware. Yeah, it could just be like they walk in the shul like, hey, I need two witnesses. Yeah, or think about Rosh Hashanah. We do Atar Sederim. What do you, you know, right after Shabbos, okay, you form a base. Let's go. Let's do this. Okay, obviously, a divorce is a little bit more complicated, you know. If
maybe they should have.
Right, but...
There was a witnesses. So staff of Shabbos sometimes served as a witness for the evil.
Oh, that's funny. Wow. So at weddings, they would have to, right, they'd have to get kosher wings. So they just grab some random waiting stuff. Exactly. Very good. Okay, so back to our feature presentation. We're going to have five different suggestions here. So we got to get through five different suggestions. So again, just one more time, quickly reorient, and let's cover some ground. The Rabbi Yochanan said, Allah shekhan say, you get malchus. But then he retracted because he saw in the case of Ones, where you have Allah shekhan say, you don't get malchus, even though you divorced her, because preceded by an assay of marrying her. Question. So that's what bothered Rav Yochanan. There's a case where you don't get malchus. So we're going to try to answer. Basically, this is what the Gemara is going to do for almost the entire time. We're going to show that actually this case of Ones is not a case of a lav shekadmu aseh, but is actually a third mitzvah, which comes after the issur of divorcing her, which is a second mitzvah to remarry her in the event that you violated the law of divorcing her. So in other words, there's a mitzvah to marry her after raping her. Then there's an iser to divorce her. And in the event that you divorce her, there's a mitzvah to remarry her. So, and what the Gemara is going to do is attempt to prove that there does exist this third mitzvah, which is a positive mitzvah, of remarrying her in the event that you divorce her, in order to show that this isn't actually, there's no patur. The reason I'm not getting malchus in this case is not because there's an assay preceding the los assay, but because there's another assay that comes after the los assay, thus rendering this a case of exactly a lav shenita klasei, which we do know unanimously paters you from malchus. And so, but the Gemara's, now that we're clear on that, the Gemara simply just needs to actually find the proof for that, which isn't so easy. So here we go. Amar Ula, lo yomar lo siele isha ba'ones, the ligmar mimotzi shemra. So it says lo siele isha. That is the proof text that you are supposed to, that the rapist is obligated to marry the victim. Uma motzi, so what we're going to say is, it says lo siele isha. There's another case we're going to bring in here, a case of motzi shemra, which also we talked about in the Chumash class. So the case of motzi shemra is where a man accuses falsely, deliberately, falsely accuses his wife of committing an infidelity. So in the case of motzi shemra, you also get malchus for it. And there's also the same idea that the accuser has to be married to this woman. Now, you're going to say they're already married. Someone's going to say that. The Gemara's going to talk about that later. So don't worry if you're not asking any questions yet. Samar Ula, lo yomar lo siele isha ba'ones. I don't need the Torah to tell me that the rapist needs to marry the woman. Why? The ligmar motzi shemra. I can make a kal v'chomer from motzi shemra. Uma motzi shemra shlo asa maisa amrachman of lo siele isha. In the case of motzi shemra, I didn't actually do a deed that was wrong. I lied with my mouth, but as we see many times in the Gemara, in Halacha, to do a physical deed is generally worse, it's more severe than to do something bad with our mouth. We talked about this in the context of Losana, Edom Zoman at the beginning, back in the day. So there, in that case, I shouldn't stop in the middle of the sentence, let me just start from the beginning. I'm real loyim or losi elisha ba'ones, loyim or mozi shemra. In the case of motzi shemra, there's an obligation to remarry, to marry her after you falsely accuse her. Ones kol shekein. Certainly, in a case of ones, I would know that the rapist would be required to marry her. Because again, we just need to change our frame of thinking. It's an imposition on the rapist to marry the woman from this perspective. It's not an imposition on the woman because she could elect not to do it if she doesn't want to. So therefore, Lama Nemar, Imeno Inyan Lefanov, Taneu Inyan La'achrov, Shem Giresh Yachzir. So if so, why did God need to add Velosia Le'isha into the Parsha of Ones, in the Parsha of rape? I know already for Motzi Shemra, I can make a Kal V'chomer. If in the case of Motzi Shemra, he has to marry her. So too, kal v'chomer, the rapist would need to marry her. So then what's Los Elisha left for? Must be those words are not coming to tell me that he's obligated to marry her after raping her, but rather it's to tell me that if he divorces her after marrying her, he is obligated to go back and marry her again. That's what we do with it. There we go. Good. Beautiful. Now we have a proof, and we know that there's an essay that follows a low essay, and that's why you don't get malgus. Issue is, we're going to do a little bit of ping pong here. Bakati oni timotzi shemra lo gamar de ikala mifrach malamotzi shemra shechein loke mishale. Now we're going to introduce a pircha. A pircha is when you have a logical hole in your kavachomer. See, motzi shemra, you might think, is less severe than rape, right? Like falsely accusing somebody versus actively raping. It's, you know, one's worse than the other. One's an actual deed. The thing is, the false accusation, while it may appear to be less severe because you're not doing anything physical, let's take a look at what the repercussions are. The repercussions for motzi shemra, as we learned in our shir, it says in the Torah, not only do you get malchus, but actually there's something unique here. He also has to pay her. He needs to give her some sort of monetary compensation for accusing her, which in a case of rape, there isn't that same compensation. And so therefore, there's actually a unique severity, a unique quality to motzi shemra that Ones does not have. And so the Kal Vachomer falls apart. I can't learn Losi Eliisha from motzi shemra to Ones through Kal Vachomer, because motzi shemra to a certain degree actually is more chamor than the repercussions for rape. So therefore, we need to offer a second approach to maybe how we figure out that there's an assay following the los assay of divorcing the woman.
Rabbi, is the motzi shemra done in front of other people, or is it a private thing?
It's done in based in motzi shemra. So you falsely accuse her in court.
The question is,
you have to actually, according to somebody, you have to actually hire the witnesses and orchestrate it in order to be over it. So even though the witnesses, of course, are violating losana, maybe even they'll be in zomen depending on the circumstances, the husband who hires them to lie, because if he just comes into court and says, my wife committed adultery, he's not going to be believed. So he actually needs to hire witnesses as a proof. So
what if he tells other people is what I'm asking?
Usually you have to pay people to do that for you. In theory, they could volunteer for you, I think. That's interesting. Does he dafka have to pay them? I think the lashon in the Gemara is that he pays them. And maybe that's like considered a maisa, actually. Maybe not. Okay, that's a good point. I'm not sure if the paying per se is the critical part. Okay, let's go forward. Ela lo yomar lo si ele isha motzi shema. So now we're actually going to try the reverse. Maybe the commandment for the accuser to marry the person he accused is unnecessary. Rather, velig marmionis. You know, I'm so convinced that motzi shemra is so chamor. Why don't I just, instead of having a verse losi eliisha that he should marry this woman, why don't we just? Oh, good. The Gemara is going to say that. Very good, Toby. So you're mechaving to the next step in the Gemara. The question is, of course, why didn't we just bring this up right away? What's the Havamina? You know? That's a good point. The Gemara will bring up this point momentarily. It's going to basically say, but wait a minute, he already is married. That's step number three. So very good. You're already a step ahead of us, Toby. So lo yomar lo siyele isha b'motzi shemra v'ligmar mi ones. Why don't we just learn that there's a commandment for him to marry the woman in a case of motzi shemra, from a case of rape, from a case of ones. Uma ones sheino loka mishalem, amrachman of losi eliisha, in a case of rape where there isn't a commandment to both pay and to get malchus, yet he needs to marry the woman anyway. Motzi shemra lo kol shekein. Certainly, in a case of motzi shemra, we would know that he has to be married to that woman. So therefore, v'loma namar. If so, then why does it say the lo siyele isha in the case of motzi shemra? If ino inyan lemotzi shemra, if I don't need it for motzi shemra, Tanina inila ones, then maybe we could use it for a similar matter. We could use the superfluous words in the Torah for something similar, which is ones. And since I already know in a case of ones, it says over there, lo siya leisha, that you need to marry her initially after the rape. Then why do I need lo siya leisha? So maybe the second verse is to tell me after I divorce her. In the event I decide to violate what the Torah told me and I divorce her, there's a mitzvah to take her back once more. Someone might say, you know, we could rationalize to ourselves. All right, look, I'll do a one-time avera. It'll be a one-time sin, and I'll sort things out like God, but then the rest of my life I can live in peace. So no, God doesn't let you off that easy. If you decide to do the sin, you still have a mitzvah that requires you to take her back. Okay, but then the question is, umaitzi shemra neones nami lo gamar. But we can't make a kavachomer from ones to motzi shemra, because even though yes, motzi shemra has a unique quality that ones doesn't have, the case of ones also has a unique quality that motzi shemra doesn't have that makes it more severe than it, which is it's a maisa, it's a deed. So I can't treat the case of ones being more kal as being lighter in the case of motzi shemra, because there's a unique quality there that makes it more severe. So now we're going to give a third suggestion. Ela lo yomar lo siya leisha b'motzi shemra shari ishtohi. Ah, so now we bring in Toby's contention. Wait, the verse of lo siya leisha is superfluous. It's extraneous when it comes to motzi shemra. Why? Not because I can extrapolate the mitzvah from ones, but because in the case itself, he already is married to her and he's accusing her of committing adultery. So if so, why do I don't even need the mitzvah of los yelishan. They're already married to each other. So if so, salama nemar. So maybe it's not there to teach us anything about motzi shemra. Maybe we can use that verse to teach me something about ones that I don't know. But ones already know lo siya leisha. It has its own lo siya leisha. So therefore, today, we use it to teach us as a mitzvah to take your back in the event that you divorce her. And then here's a question that bothered me when I was first reading the Gemara. I had a similar dynamic that we just had that Toby you presented, which is, you know, I have a question on the Gemara. It turns out the Gemara addressed it later on. So I had an issue, which was, wait a minute, why are we going from Otsi Shemra to Ones with the extra Pasuk? Why don't I just use the extra Pasuk to teach me that in the case of Otsi Shemra, I need to take her back? That should be more logical. If I have an extra verse in Otsi Shemra, I shouldn't jump immediately to Ones and apply it there. I should use the extra verse, Motzi Shemra, to teach me that it's a mitzvah to remarry her in the event that I divorce her. That's what I need Los Siya Leisha for. The Ema, the Meinu in the fun of the Motzi Shemra, Teneu in Yila Achor of the day to a lucky. So yes, you're right. We don't need the commandment to marry her in case of Motzi Shemra, because you're already married to her. But you know what I do need it for? To tell me that if you divorce this woman that you falsely accuse, you're chayiv to take her back. Why are we jumping to apply this pasuk to the case of ones that you have to take her back? I need the verse in Motzi Shemra to teach me something about Motzi Shemra. That's the question of the Gemara. You know, when I was first reading the Gemara, that's the question that bothered me when I was first reading it through. It's like, okay, at least the Gemara eventually addressed my question. So similar dynamic. So now we're up to number four, the fourth suggestion, four out of five, for how we know there's a mitzvah to take back a woman after you divorce her. In the case of ones, you know what? Let's just derive from there. So b'may gamar mine. So the issue is, once more, how are we going to derive it? One moment. Okay, so let ones come along, and then we'll derive from ones. But the issue once more is, b'may gamar mine. Iba kavachomer, iba mamat sinu, ika lemifra kibarchinan. But again, we're back to the drawing board. You want to learn from Ones to Motzi Shemra, or Motzi Shemra to Ones,
They each have their own pirchas for why we can't make a Kal V'chomer, and certainly why we can't make a mamatzu, just a basic comparison between the two, of saying that they're similar, they share the same dinim, but they have unique qualities. They can't just simply share the same dinim. I need a better proof than that. Which leads us to our final answer. Ela Amar Rava, this is our conclusion. Kol Yamav, actually, I don't know if you guys have the psukim on the side of your Gemara. I mean, I imagine you do. Right. Very good. So if actually those who have the same Torah Hashlaim as I do in your Gemaras, I'm not sure if the Judd version of the Gemara has. No, they don't come with it? Okay. So those who do, it's the third verse. Devar b'chabez yuchas yutes. So you actually look, it says, v'lo tzia l'isha, as Henry quoted for us, our balkore v'ash tuag, which is also balkore, v'lach v'alei kriya. Okay. So v'lo tzia l'isha, she shall be a woman unto you, meaning in marriage, lo yuchal l'shalcha kol yamav. Really, it can't get more explicit than that, you know? If we're actually paying attention to the psukim, we would have asked, why do I need all this fancy Torah? It literally says right here in the verse, you may not send her away all the days of your life. Now, what you're going to say is, lo yuchal shalcha only means you're not allowed to send her away. Where do I see in that verse that I have to take her back? So it's derived from kol yamav. The emphasis of kol yamav implies that all the days of your life, even if you divorce her, she still has to be with you all the days of your life. Hence, you must take her back. And so Rava says, that means Ba'amud v'hechzer, that if she's divorced, you got to get up and you got to marry her once more. The Chen Kiyasa Rabin, and when Rabin came to town, he said the same thing. Amrav Yochanan kol yamav ba'amud v'hechzer. The mitzvah is that you have to take her back all the time. And so this actually resolves the question. So what was the point of everything that we just did? Here's the basic rundown. Rabbi Yochanan, if we remember, said originally, and this is what really Rabbi Yochanan is heart of hearts, this is what he wants to believe, that Allah shekadmu asay, you have an asay, before Allah, before Los asay, you do get Malkus. Rabbi Yochanan said, but I see in the case of Ones, which is Allah shekadmu asay, where you're supposed to marry her, and as an iser to divorce her, you don't get Malkus for divorcing her. Why not? Must be, Allah should come and say, doesn't get Malkus. So sad. But no, not to worry. This is actually not, we mischaracterized the case. This isn't simply a case of Allah should come and say, but it's also a case because we have a mitzvah of taking her back if you do divorce her. So this is also a law, a shenitik law say, and I say following Allah, and that's why you're putter from Malkus. Not because of the essay preceding the law, but because of the essay subsequent to the law. Very good, very good, very good. So that's the next part of the Gemara, which is what Toby is asking is as follows. When we say that there's a law shenitik essay, that the pasen mitzvah prevents the Malkus from taking effect on me, does that mean I need to literally actually do the essay, or is having the availability to perform the essay? So very good. Toby, this is literally the final part of the Gemara we're going to do today. We just actually have one little piece right before that. But so hold that thought. Your exact question is the last piece of Gemara we're going to do. And we're almost at the bottom, so we're almost there. But we pause for this this brief little break over here. I'm going to let you a popular of Rav Papa, now that everything's sold to Rav Yochanan, Rav Papa asks Rava a question. Lo dummy, love yolalav dechasima. Remember, we have that age-old idea that in order for something to get Malkus, our paradigm is the Isser of Lostasim Shor Bedisho, that one may not muzzle their animal. That teaches us, for instance, the classic principle that you only get Malkus for doing a Maisa. If you didn't do an action, you can't get Malkus. That's how, remember, we talked about, so how do I know? You know, it says over there, Lusana Breach Eid Shakir on the Lukos. So witnesses, all they're doing is speaking. Why they get Malkus? We have to bring in another pasuk to explain why witnesses get Malkus for lying in court. It's not so simple. How do we know that I need to do a Maisa in order to get Malkus? We know that from Losachim Shor B'disho. Just like you have to do a Maisa of putting the muscle on the animal to get malchus. That's the paradigm tells me you only get malchus when you do a maisa. Similarly, that's not the only thing it precludes, but also losasim shor b'disho doesn't have a mitzvah saseh that precedes it. It's just a plain losasim. So we want to suggest that perhaps Elasha Kadmon HaSeh really should not get malchus because it's not similar to losasim shor b'disho, because losasim shor b'disho doesn't have an asay preceding it and has malchus. So if I have an asay preceding, maybe I shouldn't get malchus. Well, Marle, Rava says what? Mishum de kasa be, excuse me, the kasa be rachmona asay yisera migra gara? What? We should lose out on the opportunity to give somebody malchus? What? Because there's an extra asay? Ignore the asay that comes beforehand. The point is, there's a los asay. The fact that Hashem added an extra asay into the Torah beforehand shouldn't be the reason that we deprive this guy of getting malchus. Deprive the guy of getting malchus. You know what I mean? Well, by that token, ihachi lashin iti glasay nami leva mishum dekasa beirachman asay yisera migra gara. Well, by that logic, you shouldn't get a patur from malchus in the case of a lav shenitik lasay, because it's the same exact dynamic. What? Because Hashem added an asay after a los asay, we should prevent this guy from getting malchus? So there's a, what's the difference? What is the rationale that when the asay comes after the los asay, I don't get malchus, but when the asay precedes the los asay, I should get malchus? What's the logic in that? I think it actually is quite logical. Next step in the Gemara. Amarlei, ahulin asuke lav huta asa. It actually makes sense. It actually makes sense. The Gemara, of course, it makes sense. When I do not say before a los asay, the asay is just a mitzvah I'm supposed to do. Happens to be, there's also a los asay afterwards. But when an asay follows a los asay, it's actually, like we said before, it's rectifying to a certain degree the los asay that I just did. It doesn't make sense for me to say the asay I did before I committed the sin is a form of atonement or a form of rectifying the misdeed I just committed. But when Hashem puts an asay after a los asay in the Torah, it's there for me to a certain degree to do tshuva to rectify that sin. That's the difference between a lav shenitik la'asay versus a lav shekodmu asay. That's Rava's retort to Rav Papa. Okay? That's clear? I think that sits well. Again, I said it's logical. Of course it's logical. Okay. Let's get in the final piece. Now, Toby raised a point before about, the question was, okay, great. Lav shenitik la'asay potters me from getting malchus, exempts me from malchus. Question is, what if I don't actually do the asay, right? The whole logic, of course, is to rectify it. You'd think I need to actually do the asay to exempt me from malchus. So the question is, how does this work? There's actually a machlokus. So this part of the Gemara, there's different ways to read it based on Rishonim. We're just going to go with right. There's different ways in Rishonim how to read it. We're just going to go with the Rashi. I was basically, I'll tell you the two ways briefly. One way is to read it as a direct response to the Gemara we just read. The other way to read the Gemara, it's actually funny. In my edition of Oz V'Hadar, they put a little period in the Gemara over here because they're going according to Rashi, where they put their period in. What they're trying to do is actually separate this passage of the Gemara from the previous one. This part of the Gemara actually is not a question of what Rava just said. It's going back to Rabbi Yochanan once again. Rabbi Yochanan, who says that a lav shenitik glasay pabri you and a lav shekadmu asay gives you malchus. So let's go for it. Panichalaman to amar bitlo, elamadomar kimu vlo kimu, my ikala meimar. So what's bitlo, what's kimu vlo kimu? We're going to talk about it, God willing, more next week, but here's the basic rundown. Bitlo means that so long as I did not do something that would make it impossible for me to perform that asay, on los asay, as long as I have the potential to still perform it, I am exempt from malchus. Only when I do something that prevents me from having the potential to do the asay would I then get malchus. Whereas kimu v'lo kimu is, no, like Toby was suggesting, and it fits with the logic of rectifying
the lo sase, I need to actually go ahead and perform the mitzvah. Ah, so here's the question. Rava's whole answer for Rabbi Yochanan from Ones was, from the words Kol Yomav tells me, Ba'amu Behefsir, that he always has a mitzvah. When I always have a chance to go back and to remarry this woman and make things right. The implication from there is that I don't need to actually do it right away, so long as the opportunity to remarry this woman always exists for me, it's considered a lav shenite klase. And since a lav shenite klase, again, that answers Rav Yochanan's question, why you don't get malchus.
Let's say she dies, or she.
Oh, interesting. So what you're saying is he didn't actively prevent himself from performing it, but circumstances.
Well, initially he did.
Right, so he divorced her.
I have until the end of time to remarry her, and then it's okay.
The opportunity disappeared.
Right. The opportunity disappeared. But you want to say that maybe he was mavatos by divorce.
He can't get malchus.
Right.
Once he's lost the opportunity to repair these,
it's a very good. So we're going to, God willing, next week, a little amud over there. By the way, you always know it's the smaller amuds with a small piece of gemara. Like, oh, there's hardly any gemara in there. Well, that's because there's huge tosafim on here, which means that there's a lot in between the lines in the gemara itself. So God willing, let me put on my agenda for next week. Since I don't have a lot of gemara to prepare, I could actually delve a little bit more into these juicy concepts and elaborate on it. But anyway, let's just get to the end of the shock of Ataria for our purposes. So the question is, how does this fit according to the Man D'Amar of Kimu V'lo Kimu? According to the Man D'Amar of Kimu V'lo Kimu, Rava's answer for Rabbi Yochanan is not going to work, that he always has the opportunity to go back. No, you don't always have the opportunity to go back. If you neglect to go ahead and remarry this woman, and Beis Din eventually gets wind of it, they'll give you malchus for it. So how do we reconcile this? Answer is, we're not trying to fit this according to everybody. Rava's coming to answer the question on Rabbi Yochanan. And what's Rabbi Yochanan Shita? You guessed it. Nidu time el Rabbi Yochanan. Amarle Rabbi Yochanan Latana. Rabbi Yochanan instructed whoever was writing down the laws at that time. Tni bitlo chayiv, velo bitlo pater. That if you're mevatel the opportunity, you cause the circumstances to be that you no longer have the potential to fill the mitzvah, then you are chayiv. But so long as the potential to perform the mitzvahs as say always exists, then I will not get malchus because he holds bitlo bitlo. And therefore, Rava can suggest that the mitzvah of remarrying the woman who he divorced, who he wasn't supposed to, exists all the days of his life. So long as he has the opportunity to do it, he's not going to get malchus. And therefore, this answer of Yochanan's question, Rav Yochanan is able to revert back to his original position that Allah should kadmu asay gives you malchus. It's only in the case of onis as Allah shenitik asay also that you don't get malchus. But Baruch Hashem, we can conclude, rest assured, you can sleep easy tonight if you commit. Alav shekadmu asay, rest assured, you'll get malchus. Shkoyach. All right.
You would think there'd be a time limit on the time that he has to remarry her or not remarry her.
Yeah, you'd think. I apologize. I have to actually set up for mincha now, which is in like 3 minutes. But thank you so much. Well, it's a shorter gemara next time, so I think we'll have more time for elaborating in a discussion. Okay, shkoyach. Okay, I hope this works. We had it right here. Apparently, Scoos.